Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oaks, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oaks and David Oaks Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Remember us online at www.davidoaksministries.org. That address again is www.davidoaksministries.org. Well, it's been a few months since I have podcast, but I have not forsaken the microphone, oh, not for a moment. But I have been involved in a wonderful project since May when I was asked to do the great classic in the form of an audiobook. And that great classic is J.A. Macmillan's wonderful book, The Authority of the Believer. If you haven't ever read this book, it's 60 years old. But if you haven't read it, you need to find a copy of it. Glory be unto God. It is done by Wingspread Publications out of Pennsylvania. And it is really one of the books that inspired so much Brother Hagin's teachings on the authority of the believer. And I find it a great privilege to have been asked to do the audiobook. The audiobook should be out, I would guess, in a couple of months from this podcast. And so be looking for it, be listening for it if you would like the audio portion of this book as I read it. Praise be unto God. God is good. Now, as we began again to podcast on a more regular basis, I just felt in my spirit it would be good to play some of a couple of sermons that I have been ministering over the last couple of weeks here at the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, on the subject of hope. And so we'll join the service in progress. Be blessed, and we'll come back to you and talk to you in a few minutes. Bye-bye for now.
1 Corinthians 13:13. You got it? We'll read verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then, hallelujah, then when that which is perfect is come, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. That's love. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Praise the Lord. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now we want you to notice what's abiding now. Faith and hope and love. Now much is said about love. Much is said about faith. You're going to find many, many books written on both of those. Hallelujah. You're going to find very few books written on the middle one, hope. Everybody say hope. Say it again. Everybody, hope. Say it all again, hope. We were praying last evening, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me so clearly. He said, I want you to speak on hope tomorrow morning. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I said, that's not what I had prepared, but I'll speak on what you want, because he's the boss. Amen. Everybody say hope again. What is hope? Hope is a favorable and confident expectation. Favorable and confident expectation. What is it? Repeat it with me. It is hope, glory be unto God, looks forward with a favorable and confident expectation that things are going to be better. What? Hallelujah. Faith looks forward. Hallelujah. Faith says, I have it now. And hope looks forward with a favorable and confident expectation that the future is going to be better than it is right now. Without hope, you don't have a chance. without hope, if we're not seeing the future in a favorable light, what our life will hold for tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, we don't have a chance in this life. We are defeated already. If we have sickness in our body and we don't see things with a favorable and confident expectation that we're going to walk strong and be healthy, glory to God, and be exactly where God wants us so that we're able to do exactly what God wants, if I don't have that kind of view of the future, I'm defeated before I get started. Now, why is that? Because chapter 11 of Hebrews says, now, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without hope, there's nothing for faith to give substance to. Amen. Did you hear that? Without hope, there's nothing for faith to give substance to. If you don't have a favorable and confident expectation about what the future holds, there's nothing for you to confess. There's nothing for you to believe. Glory to God, because that's what faith gives substance to. Faith animates hope. Glory to God. It gives it its ability to thrive. But if it has nothing, it's just empty. Faith will just lay there. Now we're going to look this morning at restoring hope, because undoubtedly somebody's losing it. Let me tell you what you're going through now and what you went through yesterday and what you went through last month and last year is not a deciding factor on how you see the future. Now, some people think that that defines the future. Not in the Word of God, it doesn't define the future. It does not and will never define the future, what you've experienced in the past. It will never define the future. But if you think that it does define the future, then you've already lost the game. You've already lost. The game's over. The ninth inning has come and gone. The fourth quarter has elapsed. The second half is gone. The tenth frame has been finished. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at what the Bible says, since the Lord spoke to me and said, speak on hope. So that's what we're going to speak on. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Because I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. This scripture isn't visited nearly enough by nearly enough ministers. I think I'll read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. I'm going to be using the Amplified for several things today. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Verse 1. So I'm going to read some here. In fact, you can just look up here and just listen to me. Am I not an apostle, a special messenger? See, now that statement I made just a second ago, 2 seconds ago, is hope that people will actually listen to me. Now listen, glory to God. Am I not an apostle, a special messenger? Am I not free, unrestrained, and exempt from any obligation? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you yourselves not the product and proof of my workmanship in the Lord? Even if I am not considered an apostle, a special messenger by others, at least I am one to you. In other words, it doesn't matter how everybody else sees you, it just matters how you see me. Well, that's danceable right there.
Amen. Glory be to God.
For you are the seal, the certificate, the living evidence of my apostleship in the Lord, confirming and authenticating, glory to God, it. Now, if I was still doing the book this morning, I would have redone that. This is my real ground of defense, my vindication of myself to those who would put me on trial and cross-examine me. Have we not the right to our food and drink at the expense of the church? Now, we don't want you to get tied up, because he's going to start talking about the support of ministers, and that's not our subject. But that's what we got to go through to get to where our subject is. Have we not the right to our food and drink at the expense of the churches? Have we not the right also to take along with us a Christian sister as wife, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas, Peter? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from doing manual labor for a livelihood in order to go about the work of the ministry? He's saying, are we the only ones that have to go out and work with our hands and not get our financial benefit from the ministry? For if I do this work of mine own free will, then I have my pay, my reward. Oh, I skipped a page. Excuse me. Verse 7. Consider this. What soldier at any time serves at his own expense, who plants a vineyard and does not eat any of the fruit of it? Who tends a flock and does not partake of the milk of the flock? Do I say this only on human authority and as a man reasons? Does not the law endorse the same principle? We're getting there. For in the law of Moses it is written, you shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the corn. Is it only for oxen that God cares? Now, what's that mean? Because some people have no idea what that means. That means, do you put something over it and cover its mouth to keep it from eating of that it's plowing through? No, you leave its mouth so it can eat of that which it's working in. Now notice what it says. Or does he speak certainly and entirely for our sakes? Assuredly it is written for our sakes, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher ought to thresh in expectation of partaking of the harvest. Now notice this again. It is written for our sakes. Everybody say written. We're going to be finding that principle in another instance in just a second. You have to know what's written for hope, a favorable and confident expectation to remain a vital part of your life, where you're looking into the future and expecting good and not bad, where you're expecting advancement and not declension, where you're expecting glory to God to go forward and not backwards. You got to have a favorable and confident expectation, and it can only occur by that which is written. Now let's look, if you would please, with me. It is written for our sakes, because the plowman ought to plow in hope and the thresher ought to thresh in expectation of partaking of the harvest. The expectation of partaking of the harvest is a favorable and confident expectation. That's hope. In other words, everything we do in life, now this is talking about a minister, but we're all plowmen in life. We're all plowing something. And we have to be able to plow with a favorable and confident expectation as we go through this life that our plowing is going to get us advantage sometime, someplace. If we just think we're going through this life and we're working and it's not going to get anything, then we're defeated already. If I think that I'm preaching for no purpose, then I'm defeated already. If I think that I'm studying for no purpose, then I'm defeated already. If I think that I did that book that I just got through doing for no purpose, then I'm defeated already. Everything must be done with an eye to the future, glory to God, with a favorable and confident expectation that things are going to be better tomorrow. I got up this morning. I got a couple hours of sleep, and I set my alarm for 1 o'clock so I could spend 30 minutes preparing in the Word, praying. And then at 1:30, actually about 1:25, I called India, got through, the pastor answered the phone, the church is in progress, and I can hear the people. It was mostly women. I could tell by the sound quality of their voices when they were saying, "Hello, Pastor David," over the phone. And I preached the gospel to them. I prayed for the sick. The gifts of the Spirit went into operation. See, God doesn't care where you're at if He tells you to do this thing. Hallelujah. He didn't care that I was here in Bartlesville and they were there in Angol, India, some 8,000 to 10,000 miles from here. Thank God for this time we live in. It was like they were in the next room. It's 8,000 to 10,000 miles. In the middle of poverty. Here I am in my air-conditioned bedroom. Praise be unto God. With my ceiling fan. With my vaulted ceiling. With my television. All my electronics at the end. glory be unto God, with my computer next to the bed. And they're there, but God doesn't care. Hallelujah. And the anointing went forth. But why do you do that? With a favorable and confident expectation that there's going to be a change in people's lives. And then praise be unto God, when I finished, the Lord just allowed me to go immediately back to sleep. Hallelujah. I don't remember my head touching the pillow after I said goodbye to the congregation. I was out and gone. I got a good 5 hour sleep. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. That's my $2 dance. Praise God. I was listening to a Dick Hendren tape early this morning, and he was talking about a $7,200 dance. So, hallelujah. God's good. Notice that again, church. Because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher ought to thresh in expectation of partaking of the harvest. Romans 15, if you would, please. Romans, the 15th chapter. You know, God never promised us that our entire Christian walk would be just easy, 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 easy. Any preacher who considers himself a faith preacher and preaches that once you're born again, life just becomes so easy, 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 and not just not telling you the truth. Because Paul didn't have it just easy, easy, easy. But what he did have was the overcoming authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he destroyed everything that got in his way. I mean, it got down with Paul. He was even making the decision whether he was going to die or live. No man could dictate to him when he died or when he lived, just like with Jesus. He said, you know, I got a decision to make here. I'm paraphrasing and putting it in modern English. I could, you know, for me, it'd be better to go with the Lord, but for you, it's better if I stay. So he decided to stay around. We have that kind of authority in our life to make the most important decisions and then carry them through, as in, am I going to live now or am I going to let myself just go on be with the Lord? We've got that kind of power. Praise the Lord. My brother had that kind of ability. He chose the way he chose. I don't know why, and I'm not questioning his decision. But we all have a decision that we can make, glory to God, and we can even overcome death with the authority if we've been in the Word, glory to God, and understand the power that we have at our disposal. Well, you won't hear that in most churches this morning. Jesus said, you can't kill me unless I lay down my life. The only reason they got to Jesus, because Jesus let them get to him. They tried to push him off of mountains, off of cliffs. And beep, he was on the other side of the crowd, and they couldn't even find him. Why? Because it wasn't time. You know, I feel impressed to say this. I was reading about a young football player, high school football player in Houston the night before last. And he was committed to OU and to play in 2008. And he was going to practice, and some guys ganged up on him and shot him and killed him. In the newspaper article I was reading about, you could reply to the article, and people saying, well, we don't understand it, but God must have needed him. And I said, no, you lying devil. God doesn't kill people. You might say God kills people, but God doesn't kill people. God's not a killer. God's a life giver. He's a lifer. Are you listening to me? God gives life. He doesn't kill. God doesn't destroy. God gives life. God gives life. And God has given into the hands of the believer, if a believer will apply himself, glory be unto God, that we even have authority over when death comes and visits us if we use the authority. If we use it. If we'll stand it, because this isn't easy to do. We got to stand against it. Hallelujah. You got to be able to look into the future and say, there's something better for me to do than what I have accomplished so far, and I'm going to push through and get it done.
The path of least resistance is not the best path most generally. It's just an easier path.
But look at this, if you would please. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written, everybody look at those words again. For whatsoever things were written, when? Aforetime. Whatever was written, Paul's saying, before this time when he's writing this. Well, the only thing they had written before this writing was the Old Testament. That's the only thing that was written. He didn't have that. He was responsible for two-thirds of the New Testament, and he was just in the process of writing in. So he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So all of this right here is written for us to learn something from it. Everybody say learn. It's not a four-letter word. Learning is good. Learning is advantageous. Learning is something you should seek to do every day of your life in as many fields as you desire for it to happen in. We should all decide and make an effort to learn. Learn about God, but learn about science. Learn about geography. Learn about history. Learn. Constantly learn. God has made us learners. God has made us advancers in thought. God wants us to know what's going on, not only in the Bible, but in this earth. God wants us to know. You know, when God started dealing with us about going to India, when he dropped it upon us, we said, oh, we didn't say, oh, that's great. No, we began to learn. We began to study the country. In fact, the pastor says, Pastor, have you ever been here before? He goes, you really know a lot about our country. I said, well, yes. If I'm going to go someplace, I better learn something. I better learn something about the people. I better learn something about the tradition. I better learn something about the false religions and the devils. I better learn what I'm dealing with. Instead of just dropping myself in and going, oh, I wasn't expecting this. And that's how many people are going through life. We got to learn. I studied to be a school teacher because I wanted to impart information and help people learn. I'm a teacher. God, I mean, that's part of me. I'm a teacher because I want to help people learn. I want to help people learn today. Now notice what it says. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Megan, they're there for one reason. They're written down for one reason. And that's for us to learn. If it wasn't for that reason, the Bible would have started in Matthew. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That, or so that, you could put, so that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Here's the reason. He has written the Old Testament so that we can learn, so that there's learning can be obtained from it. For what purpose? So that we, through patience. What's patience? Patience and perseverance, generally in the New Testament, are interchangeable. They come from the same word most often. And it means this. Well, patience, you get one idea. But when we say persevere, that gives you another view altogether in English. It lets us know if we have to persevere that there's going to be some resistance against us. That in the midst of our walk in life, in our path, there's going to be some resistance that's going to try to keep us from advancing into that which we desire to advance into and what God desires for us to advance into. In other words, our path is going to be fraught with resistance, but glory be unto God. Notice this, so that we through perseverance, patience. You've heard me define it this way many, many times, but there's somebody here maybe that's new. Never heard this. Perseverance is going on. It means to go on stubbornly and resolutely
in spite of difficulties. In other words, when someone who is persevering or in living and walking in patience comes up against an obstacle, they don't just recline and say, I'm not dealing with it. They say what to me? And they push through it. They push through it. They just don't chuck it. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The path of least resistance is not the best path. I've dealt with people for years and years and years and years and years. I see people come up against an obstacle and they won't fight and get through it. Many of them just recline and say, oh, I don't know, it's not worth it. And they take the path of least resistance. But the path of least resistance doesn't get you what you need. And we'll see what it'll get you in just a second. Okay? We're talking about hope. We're talking about having a favorable and confident expectation about the future. There's faith, there's hope, and there's love. Hope gets the least conversation about it. But it's absolutely mandatory because now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives substance to hope. Faith gives substance to hope. We want you through the scriptures to look today from this second on, glory to God, and have this anticipation of future good. Anticipation of future good. I like that. To anticipate future good. And, you know, worry anticipates future bad. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. So the Scriptures cause us to be able to hit resistance and overcome the resistance. I was watching a clip the other night of a football game and of a player that went to OU, and I just kind of following him in into the pros. And he broke loose on a 50-some yard run. And there was a defensive back coming at him on the sideline. So here's this running back going down the sideline, and here's this defensive back squaring up to take him on. Now, there's going to be some resistance, but when that running back hit that defensive back, it knocked him off of his feet, the defensive back, and launched him in the air, and he hit the ground shoulder pads first, 7 to 9 yards downfield. In other words, the running back could have taken the path of least resistance and stepped out of bounds, which you see many of them do. But he said, no, I'm coming through. And he lowered his shoulder and he came through. And that's what he's getting paid to do, is to come through. Glory to God. And our payday is when we see resistance, we just go through. But you're not going to do that if you don't know that there's good waiting for you in the future. If you sidestep hard times, you're going to miss what's beyond the resistance. Let's look at the Bible. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So all of that was written, glory be unto God, so that hope, a favorable and confident expectation concerning your and my future, is developed in our heart. That no matter what we see, we know. No matter what we're experiencing now, we know tomorrow holds something dynamic for us. Dynamic and wondrous. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Now turn with me, if you would please, to Romans 5. Romans, the 5th chapter, because we need to see this for sure. Hallelujah. So hope comes via the Scriptures, via those things that were written before. And we're going to go look at least one of those things that was written before we leave this place. What time is it? We got plenty of time to do it. We could stay here literally through the afternoon and look at time after time after time of the old saints of God that have been written for us. And you can start thinking of all the great people who went before us, where they
were met with a hindrance and trouble, but yet they stayed true to the word of God and pushed through it, and God prospered them and blessed them and set them even above nations wherever they would have bowed to the first bit of hindrance. But they didn't bow to the first place of hindrance because they had a favorable and confident expectation that it was going to be just like God said. Now let's look here with me, chapter 5, if you would please. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 1. Hallelujah. Peace with God. That means our relationship with Him is whole and complete. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Well, that's a concept that's new to most people. The apostle said this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. When there are tribulations, when there are testings, when there are trials that come, he said we glory in them. Because he knows something. When there's that stands in his way, praise the Lord, and he pushes through it, there's going to be something good happen on the other end of it. Tribulation does not mean your demise.
Now we're bringing this podcast to a conclusion. We will conclude this first message on the subject of hope the next time we podcast. Remember us online again at www.davidoaksministries.org. You be blessed, and we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye for now.